It is great to have some visitors. I know some of you are doing the Alpha group for the Engaging God manual, so you're going to get a preview of Module 3, even though you're on Module 2, so hopefully you'll be blessed with that. But we are looking to develop this manual of how to engage God, and so we're on a journey and we're basically practicing that here, looking to how we can engage the pathways of relationship and responsibility so we can engage in the realms of heaven and outwork that in bringing the kingdom of God through our life as a gateway. Over the last two modules, we've looked at preparing for the journey that we're going on, and we've looked, therefore, at how at base camp, how to train our spirit so we can engage in the realms of the spirit, and to be able to see the river of life flowing through us so we can engage in the unseen realms around us, and also in us, because we can't actually see our spirit or our soul, can we? We can't see them physically, but we know they exist because we have experience of them. But we need to learn to engage them, and also we need to learn how to engage through the river of life back into the realms of heaven and all the things that are there for us on that pathway. So on this part of the journey, we're going to follow this diagram around. So we're going to look at the house of God today, and then first love, river of life, yoke of Jesus, and the seat of government. And all that will be about first love, and the whole module is first love. I was intending to do one session on first love, but it looks like there's probably going to be about 12, simply because I started to focus on first love, the gate in my own life, thinking about it and engaging there, because normally it's a transition place for me where I open up my first love gate, God's presence come, and then we go somewhere. But he wouldn't let me go anywhere for 6 weeks. We just stayed, and he embraced me. And so a lot of this teaching is coming out of the embrace that he gave me and what he revealed while he wouldn't let me go, which was a lot deeper and a lot more experiential than I first thought. So we're going to follow this process through. So in the House of God section, there's going to be three sessions. Today we're going to look at I am a dwelling, and then next time I'm a mountain, and then I'm a gateway, and to experience what those really mean in practice in our lives. So dwelling places of God. Heaven is a dwelling place of God, a house of God. The tabernacle, which was on earth, is a house of God. Church is a house of God. We are a house of God. All these things are spiritual dimensions that we need to engage in. And on the journey, we'll discover how to experience these things in practical dimensions. Literally, the word tabernacle actually means dwelling or residence. The earthly tabernacle that we see in Exodus and Leviticus and right through, and the earthly temple, which was built after that same pattern, is patterned after a heavenly one. So there is an actual physical heavenly tabernacle. Now, I say physical because the spiritual realm is just as physical as this one to our spirit. We just need to learn how to engage it. The heavenly tabernacle is actually patterned after the whole of the heavenly realms. So on this side, we see the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and heaven. And that is represented by the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. And there are veils or gateways between them. God made us after his image, and we are patterned after that same tabernacle. Because everything with God is a fractal. So what is in heaven is outworked in different realms, just in a smaller dimension. And ultimately, the smallest dimension is us. So we are body, soul, and spirit. Our body being the outer court, our soul being the inner court, and our spirit being the Holy of Holies. So our body is literally a dwelling place, and our spirit is a dwelling place. Our spirit is a gateway to God's heavenly kingdom. Our spirit has gateways that go to our soul, and our soul has gateways to our body, and our body has gateways to the world. Now, most people would be fairly familiar with this picture, and this is probably the last time I'm going to use this picture because I've got a new one. Yay. I like this one. I didn't make it. A friend of mine, Sayan from the States, made it, but he blessed me with it. So that again is a diagram, and we'll get very familiar with this diagram over the next couple of modules. But really, we're going to focus on this, which is our spirit, and in our spirit, God's presence. And the access to God's presence in our spirit is through a gateway or a veil. And we call that the first love gateway. And that's why this whole module is called First Love. Now, there is a three-dimensional version of that, where we can see that within our spirit, there is an area where God is. And then there are gateways that come through our spirit. Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," is where God is knocking to come in. Because he's already in, he just wants to come out into our spirit. So we have the river of life that flows from that gateway. There's the yoke of Jesus that's there that we embrace, and we'll learn about that. And different thrones that are there for the seat of rest and the seat of government in our life. Now, the problem is, according to Jeremiah 2:13, my people have committed two evils. Now, this goes right back to Adam and Eve. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. That was the first problem. Adam and Eve turned away from God as the source of everything. And then the second thing is they hewed systems for themselves, broken systems that can hold no water. So rather than going to the fountain, the source of living water, where the river of life flows, they decided to try and make their own water tanks, if you like, which are full of holes and never holds enough water to sustain. Now, the problem is, because as a result of that, Adam and Eve's spirit was separated from God and dead to God and separated from their soul, the only place that they could get anything was from the outside. So everything came from the outside in, from the world. And so God built into us the need for certain things which he wanted to meet in relationship with himself. Love, acceptance, security, significance, and purpose. Now, we have those needs irrespective of our relationship with God. And those needs are so strong in us that we will do absolutely everything and anything to get those needs met. The problem is, because we're separated from God, the only source was the things around us. So we've tended to get those things from things like work, relationships, money, power, and material things. Nothing wrong with any of those things, by the way. It's just what they're used for is the problem. And if we use those things to give us love, security, significance, acceptance, and purpose, then we're going to be doing it following the wrong pathway in our life and trying to build those cisterns or tanks to hold the water, which will never actually give us anything. The problem is, as we've all done that, what it's done is caused damage in our soul. So our heart has become damaged, our soul is damaged because of those natural needs, and literally it's caused hurt and pain, rejection, insecurity, fear, disappointment, guilt, shame, a whole host of emotional things that are in our lives as a result of trying to get the world to meet our needs from the outside. Now, when we're born again and we come into a relationship with God, literally our spirit is resurrected. And our spirit now has a relationship with God and has a relationship with our soul and body. Now, as that takes place, we now have a new source. So inside us now, we have a source of purpose, security, significance, love, acceptance, and a whole host of other things that come in our relationship with God. Now, we've got access to them. The problem is we've been used to looking from the outside. Now we have to turn, which is exactly what repentance is, turning from what you have been looking at to turn to what we should be looking at, which is on the inside of us in the relationship with God. So as we go through a process of turning our dependence from the outside to being dependent from what's inside, then we begin to be transformed, restored, and renewed to the original condition that God created us in, which was spirit, soul, body, connected and flowing from relationship with him. So as we go through this process, we need to stop looking to the outside. If you keep looking for the outside for all your needs, then you're still going to get damaged, disappointed, and hurt. Nothing wrong with the things that are on the outside in themselves. It's just their priority and purpose in our lives, which is the issue. So as we allow God to engage us, and when we look to the right source, then we find that those hurts and pains and all those things will be healed and restored and made whole. And then we can begin to manifest God's presence through us, because the purpose does not stop at transformation, which the word transformation means metamorphosis. The same word that Jesus used in the thing of being transfigured, in other words, shining and radiating something from the inside out, is where we need to go. And so really we need then to see God's presence in us, flowing through us to the world around us, so we manifest his supernatural life. And we can do that through the works of Jesus. He said we could work deliverance, miracles, healing, all the things that he did, but also greater works. So there were many signs and wonders that he did, which were amazing, but there are also greater works. And those works mean that those things that are around us are no longer things we seek to use. We actually begin to rule through them. So some of those things, like work, relationships, power, and different things, actually may be the spheres of government that we're called to administer. So through those things, we begin to express God's glory, his presence, his power, and his purpose, and the kingdom of God through our lives. But there's a process to go through. And we need all the gateways that flow from the inside open so that they can flow through us. So we can create an atmosphere of the kingdom of God around us in which we begin to rule as God rules, because we're his children. First, there has to be a reconciliation between our spirit and God, because it's separated. Then a reconciliation between our spirit, soul, and body, and ultimately between us and the whole of creation, because we were created to bring God's rule and government to the whole of creation, and that needs to be restored. 1 Corinthians 6:17, the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. I think this is an amazing verse that we need to experience. So everything we're going to be doing in this is learning how to join ourselves to the Lord and become one spirit, so that his spirit and our spirit in unity flow out and accomplish God's purpose for our lives. So we've sort of looked at this before, but I just want to briefly recap. So what is our spirit? Where does our spirit come from? What is it made of? Where is it? What does it do? And how do we engage our spirit are all things that we need to know if we're going to be able to connect with what's on the inside of us. 1 John 5:5 says God is light. John 4:24 says God is spirit. God is spirit, God is light. We also know God is love. So everything he does is motivated by who he is, which is love, and he wants us to be like him. So our spirit is light. It's of creative light, not created light. Because the sun and the moon and the stars and all the light that we see maybe coming out of the ceiling right now is created light. It was created by God. Creative light is who God really is. And creative light has the power to create. And we are made creative light. And our spirit is made with the power to create like God. Psalm 139:13 says, "You were formed, for you formed my inward parts, you wove me in my mother's womb, your eyes have seen my unformed substance." God saw us before he made us, and before we were formed in our mother's womb. He saw us in eternity. And in all your book were written all the days that were ordained for me, when as yet none of them was not yet one of them. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God, how vast is the sum of them. And I would encourage you to meditate around that scripture. Just begin to really see what that scripture is saying. Because what it's really saying is that we have pre-existed in eternity as thoughts within the very heart and mind of God. Now, because we are now in him, we can step back into that and see what we were in his thoughts. And those of you, some of you have done that, gone back into the heart of God and seen the amazing thoughts that God has for you and about you and who you were and who you intended to be, so that you can see the pattern that he created, so that that pattern can be manifested in our lives today. So it's really important to understand that. Our spirit is eternal. And it's the essence, really, of who God is, and it's the essence of who we are. It came from eternity, it will return to eternity. The word spirit, pneuma in the New Testament, or ruach in the Old one, means spirit, wind, or breath. Our spirit entered our body at conception when the cells formed. And it came in as a flash of light, that as a chemical thing, but actually our spirit came into our body at that point. But it came into a place where it was separated from God. So the memory of who we were was disconnected and needs to be restored. Our spirit really is the center of our being, our innermost being, the Bible describes it as. It's really the purest representation of our true self. Our spirit is not limited by time and space, and it's like the TARDIS. Those of you who know Doctor Who. Bigger on the inside than it is on the outside. And literally, our spirit can go to places in time and space when our physical body remains here. Now, sometimes people have been transported spirit, soul, and body. But generally, I know there are testaments here where people's spirits, even when they've been here on a Sunday morning, have been taken to other parts of the world and administered to people in those other places. I know of people who've been taken in time and ministered to people back in the past. Now, you know, there's no time paradox with that, because it's always what was, because in heaven we're in the before realm. So there's no paradox in it, but if we're available, God can use us even to do things and answer people's prayers in the past. So we are a spirit, we have a soul that lives in a body. Our spirit is our spirit being. Now, there are sort of three beings that we are. Spirit being, that is God and spirit realm conscious. We have a soul that is self-conscious. God did not intend it to be self-conscious, separated from him. But because of what Adam and Eve did, they became a human being. God had never intended us to be human beings. Our spirit and soul together makes us a living being. That's what God created. We became a living being when he breathed into us. And as he breathed into us, our responsibility for the rest of our existence is to breathe out what he breathed in. That's why we need a connection to the source on the inside that enables us to continually breathe out and speak out and create that which he's put into us to create. But we're in a process of restoration, so these things are not fully functioning, and we need to see an ongoing process where these things begin to function in our lives, and we learn to flow from the inside out, not the outside in. And then we learn to come from the realms of heaven that flows through us and connects outside of us. Adam's spirit was on the outside of his body, and as a being of light, he could travel in the spiritual realms. God intends us to be able to do that again. Psalm 8, verse 4, and this again is an amazing description of how God created us. What is man that you take thought of him? Well, we know God already has amazing thoughts about us. The son of man that you care for him, yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty, and you make him to rule over the works of your hands, and you've put all things under his feet. God has intended that everything should be actually under our governmental authority, so that we would have the dominion that God said to Adam and Eve to subdue the earth, and to have dominion over it, to bring God's light and love into full expression, not just to this planet, but to the whole of creation and beyond. So, literally, I am a dwelling. You're a dwelling. What or who dwells in me? Our spirit and our soul actually dwell within our physical body. Our spirit is also a dwelling place. What is it that dwells in our spirit? John 14:16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. That is, the Spirit of truth. He abides with you and will be in you. This was a prophetic declaration was what was going to take place to the disciples after the resurrection. And it applies to us. So we have a verse here that says that God's Spirit will be in us. John 14:20, in that day, that was the day that he came back after resurrection, you will know that I'm in the Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you, and we will come and make our home with you, basically. So now we know that Father, Son, and Spirit dwell in us. So our spirit is a dimensional place that God dwells in and can also dwell in God and in the heavenly dimensions. It has the capacity for that. John 3:3 says, Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So everything I'm talking about has a prerequisite condition. We must be born again. We must surrender our life to God so that he can bring dead spirit into a live spirit and come to live in with us. How do we do that? We repent, we believe, and we confess. So we need to accept Jesus as Lord of our lives. But when we do that, we can see and engage the kingdom of God. Our spirit becomes alive to God, and we're reconciled and reconnected to his presence in relationship. Then God comes and he dwells in us. Where does God dwell in our spirit? And again, this is really important to understand, because this is why there's a door and there's why he knocks on it. Luke 17:21, the Amplified Version, says, nor will people say, look, here it is, talking about the kingdom of God, or see, it is there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you, in your hearts, and among you, and surrounding you. So there are dimensions of God's rule, because this is what the kingdom of God is talking about, that's in us, and wants to be among us, and around us. And if it's going to be around us, it needs to come through us. The kingdom is the area where God dwells in us, but he does not want to be imprisoned and limited there. Because he is within the realm of the kingdom, but doesn't want to stay there. Part of the problem is we've never really learned how to embrace opening that up. The primary meaning of both the Hebrew word Malkuth in the Old Testament and the Greek word Basilia in the New Testament is the rank, authority, and sovereignty exercised by a king. Literally, Basilia is the realm over which the sovereign exercises his authority. Now, if the kingdom is in us, there is a realm in us that God rules. But it's a small realm with a door. That really means that the spirit realm is connected to each of us because heaven, all God's kingdom is in us. We have a little piece of heaven on the inside. But we need to learn to engage with it. Therefore, each of us has access to God, to the heavenly spiritual realms, and those realms also have access to us and through us only if we allow. Because we've been given free will to choose whether God's kingdom is not just a small area in us, but actually comes through us and creates a large area around us. You literally are a gate to and of the heavenly spiritual realms and are a God channel. Now, New Age people have stolen the word channel to make it something negative, but the reality is we should be a channel of God so God can manifest through us. And reality is that's exactly what Jesus said happened for him. God the Father in him did his work through him. So Jesus was a channel for God's work to be done and manifested around, which is why when he came, suddenly the kingdom was at hand. Why was the kingdom at hand? Because it was manifesting through his life, and God was manifesting through him. Now, this is another scripture that I'm not going to dwell on, but I would encourage you to meditate on and draw from, because it's a key to understanding how these things work together. Because we're a house of God, and God lives in us, that makes us a gateway of heaven. Genesis 28:12 and 17, when Jacob met with God in a dream, says he dreamed and there was a ladder set up on earth. And this is really important to get hold of. The ladder didn't come from heaven to earth. The ladder went from earth to heaven. and the top of it reached to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. This is what they tried to do to create the Tower of Babel, to create something that God had already created for people but was closed off to them. Now God began to open that realm again, and both for Jacob here, and you'll see the same thing applied to Jesus, who lived under an open heaven, and the same thing applies to us, as we see with Paul and John and others who engage that realm. And basically, the angels of God were ascending and descending. He was afraid and said, how to be feared and reverenced is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gateway of heaven. And that was called Bethel, which has the meaning of the house of God. Now, literally, we are that house. So we need to really see and reverence that house. We need to reverence what's going on in our spirit and really be aware of it. Because this is really talking about us. And Jesus expanded on this and how this would take place in John 14, 2. This is my paraphrase of this, which I believe is the true translation, not the translation that is commonly taught. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. For if I go to prepare a place for you to be a dwelling place, if I go and prepare you to be a dwelling place, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So literally, Jesus went to the cross and into resurrection so that he could prepare us to be dwelling places for God. And then we would be part of the dwelling place, which is heaven, and the dwelling place, which is the church. Because they're all dimensions of the house of God. So he went and prepared us to be this dwelling place. Now the amazing thing in this, and I think this is what I really love, is that he has the I am. It's not a place, it's a relationship. So in verse 10 it says, do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. This is the relationship that we all need, an understanding of what I am really is. John 14:20, in that day, this is the day when he came back to them from resurrection, you will know that I'm in the Father, you're in me, and I'm in you. And this is the ultimate relationship of I am. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to make our home with him. Now, I want to encourage you to meditate in here and experience this. It's not just words. This is a truth, and it's something that we can actually tangibly experience in our lives. Now, we know in the New Testament it says that we're a temple and God dwells in us, 1 Corinthians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 6:19, that we're a temple of the Holy Spirit and that we're not our own anymore. Because when we surrendered our life to Jesus and we established the kingdom in us, we were giving the government of our life to somebody else. It's just it hasn't been practically worked out totally. And we need to continue with that process. Exodus 4:14 says, now they may say to me, what is his name? This is Moses talking to God. What is his name? Because Moses was being sent on a mission and he was going in the name of God, and he was a little bit concerned that they want to know what God it was. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. I am who I am. That's his name. I am. Now, if you think about it, there's a continual sense of that. He's always I am. He always was I am, he always is I am, and he always will be I am. And the amazing thing, Jesus came in John 14:6, and it says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That is the way we come into this relationship through Jesus. Through no other way. But he is the I am. Now, literally think about this. I am is in us. And Jesus in John's gospel, and I think John's gospel is a really special gospel to me. It's my favorite gospel because it's coming from a man who laid his head on Jesus's breast and was intimate with him and heard and felt a download of revelation that came. He talks about things that none of the other gospels talks about because he had a personal downloaded revelation. And then when you read his epistles, they talk about things that the other epistles don't. And then when you see in Revelation, he has experiences that none of the other disciples had. Because he had an engagement and intimacy with God's heart, which was beyond. But it's for us. So I am is in us. And each of the statements that Jesus makes in John are things that we can engage in. And I would encourage you again to meditate on these things and to engage them. John 6, 35 and 48, I am the bread of life. The bread of life is in us. John 8, 12 and 9, 5, I am the light of the world. The light of the world is in us. John 10, 9, I am the door. The door is in us. John 10, 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd is in us. John 11, 25, I am the resurrection and the life. The resurrection and the life is in us. John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They are in us. John 15, 1, I am the true vine. That true vine is in us. John 8, 58, before Abraham was, I am. Good statement. Literally what that is saying is that the eternal I am is in our spirit. We are connected to eternity and can engage it. Now, I'll just run through those things in a couple of minutes. You could spend years meditating on those things. God wants you to experience them so that you become a source, not locked up on the inside of the bread of life, but that people can draw from you as it's manifested around the bread of life. That you can be the light to the world as the light of the world manifests through us. That we would be those things connected to him as he manifests through our lives. God is omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. Literally meaning all present, all powerful, and all knowing. That means that as we're in him and he's in us, we therefore have access to know anything, do anything, and be anywhere in time and space and beyond. Now, that's the reality of who's in us and who's dwelling in us. That's the reality of us being a house of God. It's an amazing thing. Absolutely amazing. Jesus said, I'm in the Father. Therefore, Jesus is in us, and you're in him. We are in him. The Father is in you, you're in the Father. This is talking about intimacy, relationship, wholeness, oneness, being joined to him, becoming like him, being one with him. This is the whole purpose of what God wants in our relationship. Children, like him. Part of the family, part of his family, being part of the family business, which is bringing dominion. We're a royal family. That's who we are, a royal family. Each one of you who knows Jesus personally is royalty. You are a royal priesthood. We need to get hold of our identity as children of God, and then we will see how we can begin to connect to all these things. Jesus had the heavens open and God speak over him, and God said to him, you are my beloved son, in you I'm well pleased. And he did that again at his transfiguration, and he said, listen to him. When we represent and we are a channel of God in us, around us, then God is really pleased. He loves it. When we begin to represent him, he loves his children. He wants to manifest his children on the earth as we are in heaven, so that the whole of creation's groan for restoration can be accomplished in us and through us. So I want to now look at engaging in this personally today, and we're going to practice engagement over the next few weeks of this. What does it feel like to embrace God? And you think, well, that's impossible. No, it isn't, because he's in us. We need to learn how to embrace him and engage our emotions in experiencing what it is. What does it feel like to be embraced by God? God wants you to know what it is to be embraced by him, to be enveloped by him, be surrounded by him, and experience it. Now, embracing God's presence is holistic. What I mean by that is our spirit, soul, and body need to be involved. It's a physical as well as spiritual thing. We can tangibly feel his presence and experience it. So engaging in the physical or natural realm can activate the spiritual. So physical actions can be faith steps, because faith without works is dead. If you want to engage God and feel his embrace and embrace him, then activate that. Now you might feel a bit of a dork embracing yourself, but if you watch me when I'm in worship, I do it all the time. It's only because we're concerned about other people think. It's like, actually, when you embrace God, embrace him. Activate it. And feel his embrace around you. I do it all the time. Because I actually let my body be a sign. It's like when we raise our hands or we kneel or lie down, they're just physical expressions of something we're looking to engage with. It's like I want to create an arc between heaven and earth, so I raise my hands and connect. When I lie down, sometimes I want to show that I'm just wanting to lie down and humble myself in the presence of God. There are physical things I do. There's no difference in giving yourself a hug as an expression of, hey, I am embracing him and he's embracing me. So when we engage, just look to be open to engage your spirit, soul, and body. And let your emotions free. God wants you to feel his presence. Hugging and embracing is a faith step, and he wants us to embrace that and experience him. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, look at that. Behold. Jesus is saying, behold, there is something to see, to experience here. I stand at the door and knock. What's the door that he's standing behind? The door to the realm of the kingdom that's on the inside of us. If anyone hears my voice, so he is speaking to you. I wonder what he's saying. Probably like, let me in. Or let me out, because I'm locked up in here. Or I just long for intimacy with you, so let me experience you. Experience me. Listen. So when we engage this, listen to what he's saying. Let the thoughts that come into your mind be the expression of what God wants to reveal to you. It's an active process. If anyone opens the door, so who has to open the door? Us. The handle is on our side, if you like, not his. He is dependent on us opening the door and surrendering the lordship of our life, the realm of the spirit, so that his rule won't be locked up in a small little area, but will expand to fill our lives and to flow round us and through us to the world around us. And then we have this wonderful thing. I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. Dining in the New Testament was an expression of intimacy and fellowship and relationship. So he's going to feed us. We're going to actually receive when we experience him. This really is the access point to the pathway of relationship, both through us and back into the realms of heaven. And I would encourage you to give God this daily invitation to come in. Open up that first love gate every day. Just invite his presence to come, to fill us and flow through us, to manifest around us, so that heaven is manifesting on earth through our lives. Psalm 24:7, lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. So when we're opening up this gate, we're allowing the King of glory to come in to our lives. If you've never actually done this and you don't know Jesus, you can make that decision today to say, I want you to come into my life. I'm going to open up my life as a door for you to come in. But for those of us who do know him, we can open up this door. Jesus is knocking, okay? There's a door. Now, I love doors that have got light behind them because it's an expectation of what's coming. So I use these little pictures. Now, in my spirit, what does this realm of the kingdom look like? For me, it looks like this. It's a pillar of incandescent, shimmering light, like a transporter beam, if you know Star Trek. That's what it looks like. It's on the mountain of my spirit, and it goes right up beyond what I can see, and there's this door in it. Again, this is what they were trying to recreate with the Tower of Babel. Access to the realms of heaven. The door is there. Question is, will we open it? So what I want to encourage you to do right now is to begin to just close your eyes. Think about the handle that's on the door. And then just start to think about opening up that. So close your eyes and relax. Just start focusing on that door. It's the door that's in your spirit, so you're looking inwards to that dimension. Just think about the door with expectation. Just start to picture that door using the screen of your imagination in your mind. That door into the realm of the kingdom of God within your spirit. Just start to listen. Can you hear God knocking? Can you just listen to what he's saying? Just reach out and open the door and just invite him in. And as he comes through, you may sense warmth, you may sense light, you may be embracing the Holy Spirit or Jesus or the Father. Just engage your body. Just activate that embrace. Just activate your senses. Just feel the warmth of his embrace. Just embrace him. Feel and sense his presence. Just feel the acceptance and the love that just fills you, surrounds you, cocoons you, safe and secure in his arms. Just becoming joined and connected, intimate with him. Just feel your heart next to his heart. Feel the rhythm and the beat of his heart. Feel the thoughts about you that come from his heart, and just listen as he reveals some of his thoughts towards you. Feel his peace and the rest and security and safety of his presence. Feel the joy of his pleasure and his passion for you. Just feel his delight at being close to you. Just feel his exuberance, his abundance, his extravagant, overflowing mercy, grace, love, as it envelops you, surrounds you, and cocoons you. Some of you may just feel that's where I want to stay, embraced, peaceful, resting in his presence. Some of you may feel, I want to know more, I want to experience more. So start to engage with the I am and experience the fullness of who I am is. You may want to engage with I am the bread of life. Or I am the light of the world. Or I am the door. Or I am the good shepherd. Or I am the resurrection and the life. Or I am the way, the truth, and the life. Or I am the true vine. Or even the eternal I am. Just encourage you just to begin to meditate and think and engage and ask him to reveal himself in one of those areas, and just be open to continue to experience him. just prepare to step back into this realm. Just allow all that you've received to be stored as an encounter, as a testimony within you, that you can step back into this place in your own daily walk with God, to experience Him, to encounter Him, to feel His presence and His love, to allow Him to reveal Himself to you, to become one with you, and to flow through you, to manifest around you as the light and the love of God and the power of God and the kingdom of God around your life. So we can just step back now, carrying with us all that we've received, feeling the love and acceptance, the affirmation, the approval that He feels. Just hear Him speak to you. You are my beloved child. I love you, and you are pleasing to me. I delight in you. Okay, well, I would encourage you to just practice this on a daily basis. It's not something that you get all in one go. How could we possibly engage the whole of who God is in one go? But the more we do, the more we'll engage with Him. So use it as a daily way of just stepping into His presence and experiencing Him.